Next on BYU Sports Nation. What seed do we believe BYU deserves in the NCAA tournament starting today? And what seed do we believe the Cougars will be on Selection Sunday? We'll discuss. And A.J. DeBonta returns to the show and details his experience in The Rock at the West Virginia game and his conversations with Richie Saunders, Yegor Demon, and about coming back next season. After losing the first round in the Big 12 tournament yesterday, where does BYU women's basketball go from here? And BYU swimmer Mackenzie Miller-Lung joins us in program to break down winning a Big 12 title and qualifying for the NCAA Nationals.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Hope everyone is having a fabulous March 6th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside somebody who would most likely beat me in a game of knockout, Kristen Kozlowski.
Hey, I'm just glad you're acknowledging that. But knockout, lightning, I mean...
No shame.
Yeah, no shame. But I'll tell you something. Listen, this is one way to get my boys fired up, is to take them on in lightning and knockout. Mom can still take them because my specialty was in the mid-range. I'm telling you. Now, this is a video of the men's team as they were stuck in Iowa taking on, it looks like Townsend Triple and Yegor Demon. They were back at the three-point line playing knockout, though, so they leveled it up one rather than free throw line.
What else are you going to do when you're stuck in Iowa after a huge win?
A little time for knockout.
You find your way to a gym and you play knockout. Now, this brings up a bigger conversation. When you grew up, did you call it lightning? Did you call it knockout, or did you call it something else?
We heard it multiple ways. I think the main one that was referenced was probably knockout.
Okay.
Yeah, what about you, lightning?
We called it lightning. I don't know why either.
That's more of the West, I feel like. Like maybe mid, but I do think knockout was more of the common term, so you're kind of out there.
I am kind of out there. But I'm on the losing end of the actual game against Kristen and probably in the naming of such, but whatever. We're off to a fantastic start, aren't we? All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Lenardi has the Cougars as an 8.
No, I think he's missing it.
Amen.
I think at the very least they're a 7 right now. I think a win tonight puts them at a 6. And the significance of where they would finish in this conference, I think, would be valued more by the selection committee than the metrics are showing right now. This is a 6 seed in the NCAA tournament. I stay true to that.
Strong opinions from one Sean Farnham on the show recently. What's trending, presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. 23rd ranked BYU men's basketball, now officially one of the hottest teams in the country, given their 7 wins in a row, Kristen, including 5 quad one wins. You've beaten Arizona on the road. You've beaten Iowa State on the road. And you've embarrassed Kansas and handed them their third worst loss in program history.
It was amazing.
Yet, as we look at the brackets, and I don't know if this is just guys being behind the times and they haven't updated them after BYU's win at Iowa State, but most of them still have BYU as an 8 seed right now. You just heard from Sean Farnham. Let's go back to him. The ESPN college basketball analyst has joined us twice this week. He addressed which seed he believes BYU has earned before and after the win in Ames.
I think at the very least they're a 7 right now. I think a win tonight puts them at a 6.
Really?
I think as you look around college basketball and you would look at the quality of wins and how they've played down the stretch and the significance of where they would finish in this conference, I think will be valued more by the selection committee than the metrics are showing right now.
Well, now you've got 2 of the best road wins of any team in the country at Arizona and at Iowa State. And to win in those 2 environments and checking off those boxes, that is a definitive statement, a loud statement to the NCAA tournament selection committee. And as I said yesterday, I feel like this is a 6 seed in the NCAA tournament. And I stay true to that.
Okay, Sean Farnham has made it very clear, Kristen, he believes BYU has earned and deserves to be a number 6 seed. How do you see it? What seed do you believe BYU deserves following the Iowa State victory if, now I know this is a huge if, the tournament started today?
Well, I agree with Sean. Okay. I think the 6th seed is right where they should be. And as you look at the bracketology right now, Joe Lunardi hasn't been updated. It wasn't updated in the last couple days since Iowa State, still at the 8th seed. Jerry Palm updated this morning. 7 seed playing Indiana, rather, okay, as the 10th seed. Rocco Miller still hasn't been updated. They were the 8th seed before the Iowa State game. Also, Andy Katz still hasn't been updated. That was before the Iowa State game. So I think as we see those begin to be updated based off of what they did in Ames, they should be right at that 6th spot.
Yes.
I completely agree. And as we break down Why? You look at their resume, all right? 22-8, 13-6 on the season. They are 11-8, quad one, quad two games. And I'm putting a lot of weight on what they're doing now and what they've been doing the last couple weeks going into March. The last seven games, if you look at that streak, and we heard Sean mention it, but they win at Arizona, a tough place. They beat Kansas at home. I think that win at West Virginia is equally up there. Because KenPom ranked that as one of the toughest places to play at in Morgantown. And then they win at Iowa State. So they've proven that they can take on top 25 teams. They can play NCAA tournament caliber teams and be successful on the road. And that's, they pass the eye test at every level. And you know, you can continue to go back to the preseason and go back to what could have been or what. And that's something that Kevin Young walked into. Other than filling a couple spots here or there with that preseason, he will no doubt schedule that harder next season, knowing that we got to be ready to go for Big 12 play, right? And I really think that's why they were 1-3 to start Big 12 play. They got smacked.
Yes.
Go, here's the physicality.
It was a hard lesson.
Right, a hard lesson to learn. But if I'm looking at the eye test, how they're playing now, going into March, and so if you had to pick right now in the NCAA tournament, I think they deserve a 6 seed.
I agree with you. If we're talking about what BYU deserves, what they have done recently. What have you done for me lately? Oh, I don't know. Everything we just talked about, seven straight wins, including road wins at West Virginia, which, according to Ken Pomeroy, is still one of the toughest places to get a road win, not to mention at Arizona, at Iowa State, and then the drubbing of Kansas. So we're talking about Iowa State in the Ken Pom ratings, number 11, Arizona number 14, Kansas number 22, and BYU is now number 23 after all of that success. At worst, BYU has earned a 7 seed. Come on. I mean, in bracket matrix, it's starting to trend that direction. But maybe we're just a little impatient, and we're not waiting for all of these brackets to be updated, Kristen. And we're just like, hey, do it now. Do it now. Do it now. I want it now. We live in a society of give it to me now.
One job.
Okay, what's BYU's seed? Because they beat Iowa State. People wanted it 1 minute after the game. It doesn't happen that way, but we're in March, so I am a little miffed at why it's taking so long. It's been a couple of days now. Like, can we make something happen? Jerry Palm has BYU as a 7 seed. I think that's the worst case scenario of what BYU has, quote unquote, earned. That to me would feel a little disappointing if BYU were a 7 seed.
I think we're even in the talks of a 5 seed, but at the same time, if you go back to last season and what happened where they were a consensus 5 but then had to be bumped to a 6 because of that Sunday play rule.
Yes, BYU needs to be on the 6 seed line in case they get bumped down
exactly.
to the 7.
Exactly. And I think at this point they should for sure. They have done enough. They passed the eye test. They have stacked enough credible wins from Kevin Young. We got to stack days. We got to stack wins. They've done that. And as you look at the resume comparison from last season to this season, very similar. Look at the Big 12 record, though. 13-6. I mean, come on, Spence.
Like, the quality of the Big 12 record and wins this season?
Absolutely.
Way better than last year.
Absolutely. Throwing in Arizona in the mix, right? What's bizarre to me, go back a couple weeks, and we were just fighting to stay on the bubble.
I know. 3 weeks ago, think about how much has changed.
Yeah.
I believe that the committee is in love with those two major metrics, KenPom, and obviously the primary sorting tool, the net rankings. Taking nothing away from why that matters and how much it matters. But that can be the only reason. Looking at last year's resume compared to this year's resume, that has to be the only reason that BYU is not being granted the type of consideration that they were last year. Because they were 12-16 in the primary metrics, and this year BYU's in the low 20s. But the committee talks about the eye test as well. And they talk a lot about how are you playing going into the tournament. So if BYU is 24 in net and 23 in KenPom, again, last year 12 in net, 16 in KenPom. But do you believe in your heart of hearts, Kristen, that BYU was playing as good of basketball last year at this time as they are right now?
No. But go back to that preseason and what they did, right? Beating a ranked San Diego State team, beating like the team last year. I think that was BYU number one in net, like late in December.
BYU won an MT. They beat NC State to win a Las Vegas tournament.
So I think there's a little bit of that that's kind of pulling what we're seeing with BYU's metrics and their team sheet this year. But I do think this team is better and better created for a run in the NCAA tournament, at least to the second round. In my mind, I think they're making it to the Sweet 16. If they play like we've seen them play against Iowa State, West Virginia, Kansas, Arizona, and they're proven that they can win on the road, I think that's the best part about it and what they've been able to do the last 7 days, or last seven wins, rather, is to win in tough, hostile environments and show that they aren't frazzled when, hey, there's a six-minute scoring drought, or, hey, we're going to turn the ball over 29 times. We can still recover. We can still win late in the game and get it done.
BYU has played 19 Quad 1 and Quad 2 games. I understand that non-conference scheduling matters. I have no problem with committee rewarding such, but I feel like maybe there's too much of an emphasis on how tough you scheduled in the non-conference, especially when you're in the SEC or in the Big 12 and you play 20 conference games. Like, why does it matter if you had one or two fewer quad two or quad one games in non-conference when you are absolutely pummeled and tournament tested in your conference? This is an age-old debate. And I know BYU's been on both sides of it. When they were in the West Coast Conference, they had to go out and schedule hard.
You had to heavy load the front.
In the non-con, because you knew that you were going to have it lightened up a little bit when you got to a less respected conference. BYU's obviously in the opposite scenario. So again, I don't have a problem with rewarding non-conference, but I feel like maybe there's way too much emphasis on it for a team like BYU.
Exactly.
With how they're playing right now. Okay, have you ever said to one of your friends, I love this show, man, incredible series, or this incredible movie? A little bit of a slow start, but it's one of my favorite movies of all time. Okay?
That's a great comparison.
One of my favorite movies of all time. Oh, just the first episode's a little slow.
Stick with it.
It's a little slow, but it's the best series I've ever seen. This is BYU basketball right now. Okay? Dude, does anybody care that the first episode is slow?
Nope.
No! You're talking about, oh my gosh, did you see the latest episode? All nine seasons are incredible. Like, jump in, just get through the first couple episodes.
I'm so glad I stuck with it. Yeah, that's BYU.
This is BYU basketball.
No, don't jump ship.
At the end, nobody's talking about, man, that was the best series I've ever seen. But the first episode was kind of a snoozer. Who's doing that? No one's doing that.
No, we're not at this point. I mean, let's not focus on the preseason. Let's just focus on the here and now. And they are a proven NCAA tournament succeed now. All right?
Amen.
Okay. Now, we're talking about if it had ended today.
Yes.
But if we fast forward to Selection Sunday, mm-hmm. where do you believe BYU will be on Selection Sunday in the NCAA tournament?
I believe that the people that matter, and I'm putting faith in them, maybe erroneously, but I'm putting faith in them, will recognize the trajectory that BYU is on. I believe BYU will handle Utah. They will make it 8 straight wins and then probably have a rematch with Iowa State in the Big 12 tournament quarterfinals. Even if they lose that game, Kristen, and it ends the win streak, to me, BYU has done enough to earn a 6th seed. Now, will they get the 6th seed based on bracketing principles is the question and conversation that you brought up earlier. Or will, because they have to play in a Thursday-Saturday region, the Cougars be worthy of a 6th seed, and then you slide to a 7 because that's the only way you can get in and play Thursday-Saturday the whole way through? Maybe. But to me, I believe that they will have earned a 6th seed, and in the overall seeding, they'll be somewhere between 21 and 24. Hopefully, a 6th seed is a Thursday-Saturday region, and BYU can stay on that line, because last year, I believe BYU was the top 5 seed.
They were.
Number 17.
Number 17.
Number 17
the
overall.
Yes.
And because you couldn't play in a 4-5 matchup on
Thursday, they had to drop a seed line.
You dropped a full seed line. So that could happen again. But I believe BYU will have earned somewhere between 21 and 24 overall, which should put them as a 6 seed.
Essentially, the no Sunday play, I mean, it wipes out half the bracket for you. And unfortunately for BYU and the situation that they're in. But they're a 6 seed. I can't see it any way. I agree. I think they're going to handle Utah. I think that's a 20-plus point win in my mind.
They're out for blood.
Senior night, like it's a revenge game. They're going to be amped up. And I've said this all season long. Kevin Young is a mastermind when it comes to adjustments. So when you're facing a team twice, he has been absolutely dialed in on making adjustments, the defensive side of the ball, offensive side of the ball. And that's why I'm not so worried even next week, depending on who they play in the Big 12 tournament because he's so good at adjusting and making those game adjustments to be successful and put the team in a success spot. He's dialed in the rotations. He's got players playing at the top, right? Playing at their ceiling as we are now into March. And that's what you want to see. You want to see them playing their best basketball. So I agree. I think that they're going to be a six seed, you know, and all of these bracketologists, their predictions. And that's what they do. Like, we love it, right? But it's a prediction. It's not what's going to happen. And we hope by that Sunday they're at least a six seed, depending on how they do next week.
I've had a few people, many of you actually, ask me, how high do you think BYU could realistically go? Blue goggles on and blue goggles off. It's like, okay, to me, the best. Let's say BYU continues on this heater and they get through the quarterfinals and they stun Houston in the semifinals.
Which they could.
And they're playing in the Big 12 championship game against, I don't know, Arizona or Texas Tech. If you get to the championship game, to me, that's what gets BYU probably up to a five seed. If BYU wants to get any higher than that, like winning the Big 12 tournament, to me, the max is like, okay, you're a four seed.
Yeah,
that's as good absolutely. That's as good as it could possibly get.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree.
But if you beat Iowa State again and then get to the semis and, say, lose to Houston, BYU, in my opinion, has earned a five seed. I don't think they'll show up as a five seed. It'd probably be a six.
Because of Sunday play.
Yes.
Yeah.
Probably
absolutely.
Be a six. Okay, our poll question of the day is this. We've given you our opinions. What seed do you believe BYU basketball deserves if the NCAA tournament started today? Why? And you have four options. Five seed or better, six seed, seven seed, eight seed or worse. And 55.1% of the vote right now say six seed,
they
Kristen.
Agree.
Okay. What they would be if the tournament started today. And we're kind of like leaving out the whole Sunday play thing. What have they earned? They're with us. Six seed. At worst, a seven seed, right? Worst.
They have to be in the talks of a seven seed. You can't keep them in an eight seed after that win.
No, you played yourself off that line.
100%.
At Jansen McCann on X Answers, definitely have earned a six seed in my opinion. Non-conference schedule was weak, but they have some big conference wins on the road and are one of the hottest teams in the country currently, and that matters this time of year. Yes, but how much? I guess we'll see. Anything higher than a six seed, meaning worse than a six seed, would be criminal. Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join that conversation.
All right, BYU is now officially locked in as the four seed in the Big 12.
Let's
go. They're not going lower, they're not going higher. It doesn't matter what happens on Saturday. So, will they play the winner of Iowa State and the 12-13 seed, which is as of today, it's Cincinnati or UCF.
Okay.
All right, so do you prefer a matchup with Iowa State, or would you prefer in the quarterfinals, would you rather see BYU play Cincinnati or UCF?
Listen, I wouldn't mind BYU having another crack at Cincinnati after what the Bearcats did to BYU at Cincy. I mean, that was the last game BYU lost.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy?
Isn't that interesting?
Seven games.
That was the last game BYU lost. So the idea of that, of rectifying what happened there, is fun. On a neutral court. Not on Cincinnati's home floor. There were two blowouts. I mean, BYU blew them out in Provo. Cincinnati blew them out since BYU in Cincinnati. Put them on a neutral floor, have a chance to rectify that. I like that. But if you want to make a statement, beating Cincinnati is not going to make the statement that potentially beating Iowa State again would. Obviously, tougher matchup against the Cyclones. And Iowa State's going to be, in their own right, out for vengeance against BYU. But again, I'm thinking about what's best for BYU to get him tournament ready and you know, the physicality and what's to come in the bracket. Maybe a rematch with Iowa State is better. Is it not?
It helps their resume.
Yes.
I agree with you 100%. If you look at Cincinnati, we split with Cincinnati, right? They've lost four of the last six. And they did lose to Iowa State only by 11 back on February. So they're a tough team. But if you look at UCF, we won that game in Orlando by six. Since that game, Orlando has lost seven of their last 10.
Yeah, UCF has. I mean,
they were
good, but then all of a sudden they kind of fell
struggling.
Off a cliff.
So I think those are a higher probability to win, obviously. But the Iowa State game, the rematch, is what everyone will want to see. It will help in their seeding if they can go and beat Iowa State.
There is an argument that if BYU has an easier path in the quarterfinals and say, and by easier, I mean that is...
Yeah, is it really easy?
That's a very liberal use of that word. If BYU got Cincinnati and won that game, then they would have the opportunity, most likely, to play Houston, barring Houston suffering a massive upset. And then maybe that helps BYU's resume just because they had a chance to play that team again. I don't know how the metrics are going to work out. But for me, from an entertainment and just pure basketball standpoint, wouldn't mind.
Yeah, my heart can't take a double overtime game again, so let's not go there with the Cyclones. Let's just get it done in regulation.
Okay, fair enough.
All right.
Fair enough. No double overtime. BYU women's basketball, speaking of the Big 12 tournament, dropped their opening round game to 13 seed UCF, 81-69 in the first round of that tournament. Where does BYU women's basketball go from here after a third consecutive losing season?
Ooh, that was a tough one watching that game, because that was a game they should have won. That was a game, I mean, you let Kaylin Peterson, who is really talented, go off at 35 points.
But 35?
My goodness. So as you look at Amber Whiting and what she's done in the three seasons, 45 and 51 overall, but losing season, each of those. And in my mind, she has to. It is essential to secure the young talent.
Yes,
she has.
Bring back the core, please.
You have to bring back these core freshmen in Delaney Gibb, who was an absolute star. Big 12 freshman of the year. She averaged 17 and a half points per game, scored over 500 points in her freshman year. She clearly was the best player on this BYU team. The other freshman I'm talking about, Cambry Barber, incredible player. I mean, and we saw her come on late in the season, earn the starting role. She was a huge boost for them.
She actually won Big 12 Freshman of the Week 1 week instead of her teammate.
What was it, 11 combined?
Yeah.
10 of them were Delaney. But I love Barber. I love her hustle. I love her motor. Brinley Cannon as well stepped in that starting role when Barber got hurt. I think it is just crucial for her to secure those and then build around them. And the biggest missing piece is you graduate Emma Calvert, you graduate Kendra Gillespie, Kemri Congdon, great player as well, but is the inside presence. You have to go out and get a big.
Some bigs.
Yeah, and I'm not talking height. They've got a little bit of height, but you've got to go out and secure a post player that brings toughness,
yes,
that takes up a lot of space down low, that just is a workhorse for you on both sides of the ball.
Hey, the concept and idea of Mariah Hudgens and Ari Mackey-Williams coming back off of injury, joining the core that you talk about.
Yes.
If you can get a couple of pieces through the portal, this will take some NIL contribution for sure, like some investment into women's basketball, but there has to be a change that you mentioned. So I'm just going to echo what you say there and then throw in a couple of key veteran pieces that are coming off of injuries. This feels like the right step, but can they keep the core
together?
They
got to keep it, yeah.
So difficult in our day and age.
All right, the season finale of BYU basketball with Kevin Young is tonight as the senior guard, Trey Stewart. How about that lob to Dallin Hall?
Oh.
I want to hear what he has to say about that. Recaps the wild win over Iowa State and previews the regular season finale against Utah and the Big 12 and NCAA tournaments coming up. You can watch tonight at 8:30 Eastern on BYU TV app.
Up next, our one-on-one conversation with Jerem and BYU star AJ DiBonsa. What was his latest experience in the Marriott Center like? And what have his conversations been like with Yegor Demian and Richie Saunders about potentially sticking around next season? This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
We're talking about a generational transcendent player.
If we went 3-0, we have a good chance of making the Chipotle National. We're still going to be on our 25-ranked poll, and we're still going to make a turnaround, I think. We're trying to aim for the top, so we're trying to get that number one spot. Stack days, 1% better every day.
We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. Kristen Kozlowski and Spencer Linton here. But now we turn our attention to the man, AJ DiBonsa, the number one overall rated high school recruit who has signed with BYU. We have our weekly conversation with him now. Jerem Jordan handling that. AJ DiBonsa back on BYUSN.
AJ, you were having some fun in the Rock Saturday night. What was that like, man?
I mean, it was fun. I mean, Anthony Falesi, my teammate, he had a little unofficial visit just to come watch the game. And me and him went to the Rock, so I took him to the Rock, had some fun. I actually went up like the whole Rock. I went up like all the way to the top and like gave the fans some love over there.
What's it like to be in there? Because obviously next year you're going to be playing on the court, but sort of set the stage, set the tone for next year, I assume?
Yeah, because I don't really get to watch a lot of games as a fan. Because I'm usually playing the game. So, I mean, it's always good to be a fan. I'm still a fan of the game. I still like watching basketball regardless.
What's that energy like in the Rock? What's elected me in there for those who have not done?
I mean, it's a lot of energy. I think me and Ant turned it up a little bit, though, because when we weren't losing, But BYU had a little slow start that game, and then we went in the second half. I went in there, turned up the energy, and then we started making every shot. So, I mean, I won't be in the rot next year, so we have to keep the energy up. So,
does it give you a sense of the influence that those students can have on a game? Like, if they bring it when the team's down, you can feed off that?
Yeah, I mean, that's what college basketball is. I mean, like, the environment, even when you go to away games, you have to deal with their student section. So when teams come to the Marriott, they have to deal with ours.
Are you a guy that interacts with the student section, whether it be your home fans or road fans a little bit? Or are you like, I'm ignoring that, I'm focused on the game?
I mean, high school, you don't really have that, so I wouldn't even be able to answer it. We'll see next year, like, if I'm – because usually, I mean, if they say something, like, depending on what it is, like, I might chirp back depending on, like, what they say. But if it's, like, too hectic, I'm not going to get involved in it.
A little bit of friendly fire could be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you enjoy about the BYU home games the most right now? Because you've been to a bunch of games, and there's some really high-level games. What do you enjoy about the atmosphere?
No, I think it's really the Rock is probably the best part. Like, they always bring energy. They always have, like, boards and signs and different types of things. So, like, at the free throw line, hopefully the other guys miss.
It's hard for teams in the second half, man. They're, like, 4% worse. Yeah. Have you noticed playing in high school games or other games where certain kind of backgrounds may be more distracting than others? Like, is that a real thing?
Yeah, actually, depth percentage is a real thing. So, I mean, college, regardless, you can't – you there's people behind the backboard, and then, like, it's a glass window, and you're seeing, like, a whole bunch of things in the background, so you have to really concentrate on the rim. So I'm definitely going to get used to that.
West Virginia is, like, very cavernous, like, very big and deep. That's one that's interesting. Do you prefer, like, a little less depth perception where, the, like, if the wall was closer to the hoop there?
Yeah, so I think by science, it's easier to shoot with a wall. But, I mean – college and NBA and overseas, you don't have that, so you better get used to it.
You don't have that. No, yeah. You got to get used to it. Talking to AJ DuBonta on BYU Sports Nation. When you watch BYU play, and they have a first half like that against West Virginia where it's a little bit stagnant, not everything's going down, but then they turn it on in the second half. What kind of adjustments did you notice BYU have in a big win over the Mountaineers?
I mean, the Mountaineers tried to take away their three. And I think they realized that, so they just started attacking the basket. I mean, if you're going to give me the lane because you don't want me to shoot, I'm going to take the lane. So, I mean, in the second half, we got to the rim a lot. And then once we did get to the rim, it opened up three. So I know Yegor down hit one, and then Trey actually hit one. So, I mean, once you get to the rim, then it just opens up everything.
What about your skill set fits in the style of play that BYU will have next year with you?
I'm just all-around game. I mean, like you said, like, I'm capable of doing both. So if you're going to give me the three, I'm going to take the three. I'm going to try to make the three. I can make the three. If you're going to take it away, okay, I'm going to drive to the basket. I'm capable of doing that. And then when you collapse, I have Kaba for a lob. I have Richie for a three. Like, it's just going to be so many options. It's going to be dangerous.
How actively are you recruiting those guys to make sure they're on the roster next year?
I was actually in the locker and I was telling them, like, yo, like, come on. Like, can we like, play together next year? I mean, like, it's the whatever's best for them. Like, I mean, like, everybody's talking about Yegor. Like, if he's a lottery pick, like, don't try to please me, like, please you and your family first. I'm never gonna tell him, like, yo, stay so I can play with you. Like, no, if you need to go to the NBA and go please your family, go do that, bro. So do what's best for you. But it'll be nice if we could play together for 1 year.
I was gonna say, but with that said, Yegor and AJ would be pretty exciting.
I'm denying that fact, yeah, but, like, you know, I understand.
Could you see a little, like, pick and roll with him?
Yeah, I can see a lot of things with him. Like, he's my height, 6'8", point guard. Like, that's scary.
That would be scary in a good way. I would love that. What have you noticed about Richie Saunders? Because here's a guy who was, like, a glue guy last year coming off the bench, and now he's one of the best players in the Big 12. Like, what does Richie do so well from your perspective?
Well, I just think he doesn't need a lot to go to produce. Like, you don't need to call a play for him. He's just going to go get you 3 points. He hits open shots. He's becoming a better defender. He's getting to the rim. Now he's actually driving with relentlessness. He can hit a floater. He can get to the rim. So, I mean, it's just – I think he's becoming a more complete player than what teams seen him in the past, because the scout that they had on him was he's just a glue guy, and now he's coming in really becoming one of those top guys.
And he's so hard to defend because once he gets the ball, he's either going super quick, typically to his left, or he's getting up with his quick jumper. Like, when you're guarding a guy, it's hard to engage in that first second, right?
So you have to respect. You have to respect the three. So you, any pump fake he does, you have to semi-jump. And but you have to respect the drive. So, yeah. I mean, what is he, back-to-back Big 12 player of the week? So, I mean,
I saw over the weekend Chase Roberts and Utah Prep going to do a clinic or something. What are the details there with the BYU wide receiver Chase Roberts?
I don't know the details, but he did tell me that they are doing a clinic. I don't know full details.
Could you have played wide receiver?
I used to, actually.
You used to? How old were you when you played football?
I played for 3 years. I stopped during COVID, so that was seventh grade. So, like, fifth, sixth, and seventh I was playing. I used to be tight end, and then I told my coach, respectfully, I'm not going to block. So you can either put me at wide receiver or you can keep me at tight end, and then the defensive end is just going to get the running back. So he put me
at hand in the ground.
He put me at wide receiver. Then I used to play corner on defense. So.
At some point, maybe in seventh grade, you outgrew corner height.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's why I stopped, because COVID came. And then I was thinking, should I play another year? And I grew 5 inches. And I was like, yeah, I'm done.
That one summer you talked about, that's crazy. I was going to say, if you didn't play basketball, what would you be doing with your life?
I'll be playing football.
And would you still want to be?
I would still play football right now.
Okay, at like 6'8".
Yeah.
What position would you play?
I would play wide receiver. But like the thing with me, like I would only do deep routes. Like I'm not finna sit here and do digs against a linebacker that's 250. I'm not doing that.
You don't want that.
Put me in red zone only, fade routes. I'm good.
You mentioned to Spencer that you got your McDonald's All-American jersey. How cool was that? And where's that going to be hanging up one day in your house?
The one that we got is actually for the school. We'll get another one for my house later. But I mean, it was just surreal just seeing your last name with the McDonald's logo. Like I had three McDonald's on my team last year. And just seeing them and being happy for them. So I got mine now, so I'm pretty happy.
You feel like you could walk into a McDonald's with that and be like, yo, I get some free stuff here? Or that wouldn't work?
Actually, people last year, like, for getting McDonald's, like, they used to be behind the cash register and, like, hand out burgers and stuff. I don't know why we didn't do that this year.
That's fun.
I don't think the jersey would work. I don't think they would care.
Let me just borrow it if I need some lunch or something in Provo. That's all right. Yeah. You had the AJ chain, and you probably have a bunch on Saturday. Who makes that, and how much bling's on that thing?
I mean, you could get any jeweler to make it. I mean, there's jewelers in Atlanta, Florida, Boston. There's one in Utah. That's actually my only one. I will get another one though. Like, I feel like that's kind of like too big. Like, I can't be wearing it all the time, so I need like a smaller one, which I'll probably get like later this year.
Too much bling, you're saying?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I'm a simple guy. Like, it's smaller than what rappers wear, but, like, it's kind of, like, too heavy, like, to be wearing. I only wear at, like, events like that. Like, if I want to wear a chain every day, like, I'm not wearing that. It's too big.
That's a good problem to have. You know, not everyone has too big of a chain. Let's go. Let's talk about your games this week. You're rematching the Patrick schools, which, by the way, that's where Kyrie Irving, bummer with the ACL with him, went to school. That's a rematch. You guys won that first meeting. How are you feeling about matchup number two here?
I mean, we're feeling good. I mean, when we played them the first time, that was like literally when the coaching change happened. So Coach Keith Smart wasn't even our coach. So now that he's our coach, we really watched film on the other team. We're feeling good about ourselves.
Then it looks like next week you'll be in Salt Lake playing?
Yeah, I'll be in Salt Lake. I'll be at UVU. So all Cougar Nation that's not traveling for the Big 12 tournament, you need to be there.
Come watch AJ play if you haven't already. Down in Hurricane, come watch him at Utah Valley in Orem. Well, AJ, best of luck. It was great to have you in town, man. Are we gonna see you again at the Utah game, or you got stuff going on? You got games.
What day is that?
Saturday.
This Saturday? No, I'll be at South Carolina.
You'll be in South Carolina. Okay, so that was the last game in the Marriott Center you go to before you play.
Yes.
That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. Well, best of luck against the Patrick schools, and thanks for the time, man.
Thank you.
Love it. Already a fan favorite.
And absolutely.
Stepped foot on campus. All right. Number 23, BYU men's basketball hosts Utah on Saturday night on senior night and the regular season finale. Pre-game coverage begins at 9 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Still on the way, how last night's results in the Big 12 Conference affected BYU's standing for the Big 12 tournament. If you missed it, then we'll tell you again next. Headlines on the way on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
A loaded edition of BYU Sports Nation headlines now.
All right, number 23 men's basketball is officially the four seed in next week's Big 12 tournament after the results of last night's game. BYU will have the double bye before playing in the quarterfinals next Thursday at 12:30 Eastern against either 5-seed Iowa State or the 12 or 13 seed. And hey, BYU plays Utah this Saturday. Utah just hired a new head coach. We saw this coming. Alex Jensen from the Dallas Mavericks.
Dumont High School represent, Kristen. A fellow Viking
Dumont
to you.
Alum. Yeah. That's right. Look, I'll give my brother a shout out. Alex played my brother Brad at Dumont and at Utah under Majerus.
This feels like a home run hire for Utah.
It's a great hire. It's another, hey, let's do what BYU's doing. Kevin Young.
Matt Norlander reporting that Andre Miller is also in the mix, another former Ute great to join Alex Jensen. This adds some juicy context to the matchup on Saturday, knowing
Saturday?
What's down the pipeline for the Utes.
Is he
going
to be there? What do you think?
Hey, listen, if there's a place where he could get a seat, BYU's kind. They welcome all, Kristen.
That's right.
Big 12 scoreboard from last night includes number 9 Texas Tech handling Colorado 91-75 thanks to a 30-point, 14-rebound double-double from JT Toppin. That dude is ridiculous.
Good.
Tech clinches a top 3 seed in the Big 12 tournament with that victory. Kansas State, tough road win at Cincinnati, 54-49. May have done Cincinnati in on their NCAA tournament chances, frankly. And UCF beats Oklahoma State 83-70 behind 36 points from Darius Johnson. As we told you earlier, with those results, BYU, win or lose against Utah on Saturday, is locked in as the 4 seed in the Big 12 tournament.
Well, they're going to win. All right, on to women's basketball. This breaks my heart. But women's basketball, they lost to 13 seed UCF of a score 81-69 in the first round of the Big 12 tournament yesterday morning in Kansas City. Turnovers, once again, this has been the Achilles heel for this team, proved to be the difference against UCF. BYU turned the ball over 18 times, which is converted into 27
Yikes.
Points for the Knights. BYU finishes the season with a 13-17 record, the third straight season with a losing record, unfortunately.
BYU football holding spring practice number 4 yesterday at the indoor practice facility. Cougars can hold 15 practices in their spring period. Practice number 5. Scheduled for Friday. We'll bring you any and every notable headline from those practices.
BYU baseball dropped their home opener to Stetson yesterday, 6-5 at Miller Park. The Cougars trailed 6-2, entering the bottom of the ninth and scored 3 runs, but struck out twice to end the game with a tying run aboard. Both teams are back in action today for game 2 of the series, beginning at 5 Eastern on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio.
BYU softball opens Big 12 conference play with game 1 of a 3-game set at Arizona State. Very evenly matched teams, huge way to open the conference slate. Cougars have won 5 straight. They're 14-4 overall on the season, but could use some meat on their resume. Winning a series at Arizona State would certainly do that. You can watch tonight's series opener, 8 Eastern on ESPN+.
How about Mackenzie Miller-Lung of BYU Slim and Dive? She punched her ticket to the NCAA Championships, which was announced yesterday by the NCAA and USA Swimming. Miller-Lung will compete in 3 events, the 200 breast, the 100 breast, and 200 individual medley. She'll join us next on our segment.
Fantastic. And BYU Women's Tennis hosts Colorado today in their Big 12 home opener. BYU working for their first Big 12 victory after dropping their first 2 Big 12 matches on the road at Arizona and at number 23 Arizona State. As we just mentioned, BYU swimmer Mackenzie Miller-Lung, fresh off that new ticket to the NCAA Nationals, in studio to discuss how she's gone next level and how some new coaches are helping change the scenario for BYU Swim and Dive. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Mackenzie Miller-Lung, a BYU swimmer and all-time record holder.
I technically didn't start swimming competitively until sophomore year of high school.
Broke the all-time BYU women's 200 breaststroke record.
I really want to end on like an amazing note. I think I can give her one more.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. That is Kristen Kozlowski. And the woman who was the central focus of that highlight coming back into the show, Mackenzie Miller-Lung, is now with us in studio to talk about her recent punching of the ticket to NCAA Nationals. Mackenzie, congratulations first and foremost. Great to have you with us.
Yes, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
You're beaming, I can tell.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I'm a little nervous.
No, okay. Well, nerves or excitement mm-hmm. that you're okay, you've made it into the NCAA Championship.
Yeah, it's crazy. I like honestly still kind of feel like a dream. I'm like, oh, when am I gonna wake up? Like a little scared, but I'm so excited.
Well, as we've been alluding to, you've had quite the week at the Big 12 Championships, first team honors in three events. Okay, it's one thing to do in three events, okay? And you become BYU's first ever women's swim and dive Big 12 champion in the 200 breaststroke. Mm-hmm. So of all of the things you accomplished at the Big 12 Championships, what was the most notable moment or accolade that you bring back with you?
It had to be like that 200 breaststroke. I've been working so hard like all year long to be that 200 breaststroke champion. I went into the race at second and I was like, okay, I think I can be first. And then going into it, I was like, even if I don't go best time, I really want to win. And then thankfully I went a time that I did not think I'd be able to go. So that's the best thing. The 206, I think 5.3 was definitely my favorite part of the meet, highlight of the meet.
I love it.
Did you know in the water that you were fast? Did it feel fast?
Yeah. It's funny because every time I swim the 200 and it like feels fast, it feels easy. So like by the time I touched the wall, I was like, oh, I could do another 100 right now.
Ooh.
Like I felt
amazing. You hit your second wind,
Oh yeah, okay. I felt amazing. Even by the end, like I didn't die off, but right off the dive, I did my first pull down and I was like, oh, like I got this. Like we're gonna win.
The confidence so, went up.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was the best feeling ever. Like after the 2 a.m., I was like laying on the floor dying. After the 2 breaths, I was like, oh, this is the best feeling ever.
I love the confidence. So yesterday you learned that you had qualified for the NCAA Nationals.
Yes.
In those 3 events.
Yeah.
Walk us through that moment and where you were when you learned.
So honestly, I kind of knew what I needed to go. Every single day, I'm kind of like nerdy about it. I'm on this site called Swim Cloud, looking at what girls are going, looking at everyone's split times, looking at my split times, watching videos, like trying to see what I need to go. So I knew exactly the time that I needed to go to make NCAAs. And thankfully, Big 12s is at the end of all the other championships, like SECs and ACCs were the week before. So I knew like exactly what I needed to go. And once I touched the wall and saw that 206, I was like, oh my gosh, like I am like top 10 in the nation. I knew exactly the girls that I had beaten. And I was so excited. I like got out and like ran to my teammates. And then yesterday, when I saw that I had been bumped up to 5th in the nation, it was like, I like called my mom immediately. And I was like, mom, like, this is crazy. It still feels insane. Yeah.
Surreal, obviously.
Yeah, like literally
something
not
you
real.
Work force into a little bit. Mm-hmm. How do you feel like you can compete now in the national championships?
It really, like, I almost have imposter syndrome because I'm seeing my name up next to all of these other, like, big names from, like, huge, like, SEC schools and, like, Olympians. And I'm kind of like, ooh, I don't know if I belong up there. Like, it's crazy, but it really is, like, kind of a confidence booster, knowing that I did that. Like I put that time up. This isn't fake. This isn't a dream. I worked hard all year long and I am able to compete with these top like people in the nation.
You are the first BYU women swimmer to qualify for nationals in 4 years. Okay. So that adds some context to this conversation. Certainly. We know you're excited. What's next for you in the training and the preparation before you get in the water at Nationals?
Yeah, so that was like immediately after the 2 breaths, I got out, started talking to Coach Tambor, and she was like, honestly, I should write a practice for you right now to do in the warm-up pool. And I was like, ooh, I don't think that's such a good idea. But then flew home Sunday, I was immediately back in the water on Monday. So I like am lifting already. I'm back in the water. I've had like three practices since the meet. And we're not just like easy practicing. I'm like hitting the ground running. It's like hard practices. I'm lifting hard so that I can get back into the shape that I was right before the meet so that I can like taper back down.
You brought up Coach Tambor. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you about that because new head coach, right?
And, yes.
And how influential has she been this year for you?
Not even this year, but all 3 years that I've been swimming, Tambor has been like my rock. She's like my mom away from home. I don't think I could have like been able to swim as long as I have or compete or be as good as I am without Tambor. I think her and I just have such an amazing relationship. She really knows me. She knows what I need. And she knows when to push me to like be better and when I can like achieve, like go over my limits. But she also knows when to kind of reel back and be like, okay, like we're going to give you a little bit of a rest day because I need those sometimes. So I seriously like could not have done it without Tambor, and especially having her as the new head coach has been, in my opinion, like the best thing for our swim program.
Mackenzie Miller-Lung, Nationals qualifier and three-time All Big 12 swimmer, is with us on BYU Sports Nation. How does it sound when I introduce you that way?
That sounds crazy. I'm like, wow, why? Well,
but you did it.
You did it. We love the name Lung, by the way, too. You had to marry Tanner to get that.
And, yes. It's like a funny joke because we do 25s underwater at practice, and I secretly cannot make a 25 underwater. And I was like, your last name is Lung. You should be able to make a 25 underwater, but it's all good.
Did his last name have anything to do with you deciding to marry him?
Maybe a little bit. I was like, oh, wouldn't it be like so funny? Because I'm like a swimmer with the last name Lung. Like, that's hilarious. But I swim breaststroke and I breathe every stroke. So it's like, it's not as cool.
Your lungs are still strong, okay?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Much stronger than ours.
Very strong.
For sure.
I'll take that.
Let's have a reality check here.
Oh, yeah. It's
very strong and stronger than most.
Thanks.
What's your training schedule like on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, so
I love this conversation because mm-hmm. people don't understand the
sacrifice. A lot of people don't understand. It is like we're hitting the 20-hour limit every week. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we have practice in the morning. This is more like middle of the season. Right now it's a little weird because it's like just me trying to swim. But middle of the season, we have early morning practices on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Right after morning practice, we head to weights. So it's like an hour and a half practice in the morning and then like 45 minutes of lifting. And then every afternoon from 2 to 4, we have practice. And then on Saturdays from 7 to 9, we have practice. So it's like every single day. But while I say practice is 2 to 4, I see it more as like 1 to 5 because I'm getting to the pool deck at 1. I'm eating, I'm trying to recover, stretch, heat. And then after practice, it's like if I don't have class, I'm trying to go to the ice bath. I'm trying to go and get treatment and like just do everything I can to be elite, basically.
Wow.
Major commitment.
Yes.
An incredibly consistent schedule. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. Sincerely.
Yes. Best of luck.
Awesome.
Too.
Yes.
Okay. By the way, NCAA Nationals begin Wednesday, March 19th mm-hmm. in Federal Way, Washington. That's Washington State. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, Washington State.
Not Washington, D.C., even though it says Federal Way.
Yes.
Okay? Washington
think, right?
State. Congrats, McKenzie.
Good luck.
Thank you.
You're awesome. All right. BYU baseball will look to bounce back in game 2 of their home opening series against Stetson. First pitch is today at 5 Eastern on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio.
Which seed do you believe BYU men's basketball deserves if the NCAA tournament started today? Plus, who has earned the elite tweet of the day and a rising shout out that you don't want to miss? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. Which seed do you believe BYU men's basketball deserves if the NCAA tournament started today? That's a poll as well, and not surprisingly, 57.3% of you say the 6th seed. Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes in from @2_6_CMO on X, who says, based on the teams I at least want to play against Metric. BYU is a top five seed. Well played. Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about The Rock welcoming back the BYU team at the airport last night at midnight?
Let's go.
Stuck in Iowa. Way to be there.
That's commitment. Come on. Even a day later, our thanks to today's guests, AJ DiBonsa and Mackenzie Miller-Lung.
The conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook.
We love you, Dennis Pitta. For Kristen, I am Spencer. Shout out to Mark Bigelow. We'll see you for BYU Baseball a little later. Go Cougs!